Yeah. Wow, that seemed so short. That seemed really short. I remembered. No, is that okay? Okay, that is a separate song in this sequence here. But let me just see what it is. That's Reunion Blues. Okay, so that's Reunion Blues, and it was very short. I thought that the next song was the one that we were hearing, I guess, is what it was, because that was short. But that's the best kind of example. That's the word I want to look for. That's the best example of blues that I can think of right now, anyway, that I can find right now for Oscar Peterson, from Oscar Peterson's history or whatever, that you can hear the blues saturating that. Like it's the blues, I mean, if you don't know the blues, you won't know what I mean, but without getting technical, I'm just saying that has a lot of blues phrasing, a lot of blues melodies in it, like a lot of blues, I don't just want to say sounds, but blues structure or blues riffs, I guess, is maybe the most accurate way of putting it. But it's more than riffs. It's the harmonies and the melodies within blues. They're definitely present in that example there. And it's called blues too. You can hear it's the blues, right? But it's not like necessarily 12-bar blues. But it's called Reunion Blues. It has a very blues sound to it. And, rightly so. It is a blues song. But, I wanted to give that as an example of what I mean when I say that Oscar Peterson used to have this blues influence in his early days. And this was in 63, this particular performance. It was in 63 in Sweden, according to the lists here, you know, the, what do we call this, the notes here for this performance, 1963, Sweden, with his band, his trio. I was outside working today, and I realized, after I was out there, I realized that a couple of things. Well, I went and cut away all the branches that were preventing my mower from mowing the back of my lawn, where I couldn't get right up to the edge without going through these branches. So I went and trimmed those branches, and then I realized I should cut down one of these trees. I have a lot of poplar that are getting big, so I cut down about a 5-inch diameter trunk poplar that's getting a little too big for what I want to burn. I want to burn the logs that are not really giant sized, because for one thing, they're easier to cut down, and you know, they're easier to dry and everything, and I don't have to split them. So I've got a 5-inch one, but I got my saw pinched. But before I talk about that, I realized after I was out there, I realized yesterday that the reason why the saw is sharp is because the chain is brand new. That's why it's sharp. It's not because I sharpened it. But I also think I can get it pretty sharp with the steel sharpener, but it's not that it was sharpened by that. It was a brand new chain. That's why it was pretty sharp. But I also damaged the chain because I pinched the saw today. So I damaged this chain today because I pinched the saw, and I went and got my other saw. But when I was cutting, I actually made impact. The saw that I was cutting was at a slight angle to the one that was pinched. And so I hit it. I hit the saw when I was cutting the other saw free, when I was cutting the tree down to free the other saw. I guess I was not willing to bend down to get it level or something, whatever, but I hit the other saw blade. So the damage I did, I don't know what damage I did to the cutting saw. That was my skip chain. I haven't looked at that chain thoroughly yet, but there's probably some damage. Definitely got to be damage to that. But, yeah, so that I didn't find any teeth that were damaged. There's got to be damage. But the other saw that was pinched, I hit one of the rakers. That's what happened. So I sort of just annihilated one of the rakers, I guess, on that saw, on that chain. That was the extent of the damage on the pinch saw. That's all I could see. The other saw I couldn't see because it was, you know, the chain spinning, so I'd have to look at the whole chain to find out. But I did look at a few teeth. They weren't all dull, certainly. There were some sharpened teeth, but I'm going to have to sharpen that saw anyway. That chain I'll have to sharpen soon. It was dull, but it was the best thing I had, the only thing I had to get this thing cut free. What happened was when I pinched it, I was trying to get it to come back toward me, but it was leaning hard the other way. I just thought maybe I could get it to come my way, and I wanted to try to see if I could do it. But when I made the back cut, I got pinched. So, but it wasn't a very big tree. I mean, I could almost, if I had a rope in the tree, I could have pulled it and broke the tree right off, because it was pretty well cut. Like, it was all, I pretty well finished, almost finished the cut. So that's when it got pinched. But yeah, I could have just put a rope in the tree and pulled it. I could almost pull it down just with my hand. If I weighed a few more pounds, I probably could have done it. But I just couldn't. I couldn't pull the tree over, so couldn't unpinch the saw and get the tree to come my way. But it was okay. I mean, I ended up just cutting it down, and I don't think that the pinch saw got any damage, even though the tree landed right on it, right on the bar. So that's gonna need it. But I used it afterward to do all the bucking and everything. I used the small saw afterwards, so nothing really wrong with the small saw, and I don't know what's wrong with the ripping chain. I don't think if a few teeth got damaged on the ripping chain, I guess that's not gonna be the end of the world if I file them, you know, smooth and whatever. I it's probably gonna be okay, but I'm not going to be using the ripping chain very much anyway, I don't think, unless I'm going to switch that chain and try and put the other chain on there. You know, the other 20, I do have another 20-inch chain that's not a ripping chain, so I'm going to put that on there. So that's my chainsaw story. But I mean, I haven't actually used that saw very much. All I've done with it is ripping, and all I've done is ripping, either ripping or using that rip chain. I mean, the rip chain is, after I put the rip chain on it, I did ripping, and then I never changed the chain after that. So I haven't used that saw very much, other than to cut with the ripping chain. So I don't know what it is. So the other chain, the 20-inch chain, should be brand new, I think. It should be perfectly fine if I swap the chain. But I was enjoying using the ripping chain. That's why I never changed the chain, I guess. It was working fine. And now I think there's probably going to be some damage on that chain, which is strange, but you know, I just got careless, that's all. I wasn't, but that's okay. I mean, I was happy today. Like I was, that's when I get careless, when I'm happy, right? I was so happy and carefree that I was able to just go out there and just do my work. But I was in a hurry too, because I wanted to get this saw cut free before the tree just fell over or something. And it fell across the creek kind of thing on the neighbor's property in the, you know, in the rough part of my neighbor's property, in the part where the grass is long and everything, where nobody would ever be there probably, but there was no one there when I cut it, of course, but I had to go and get, I had to run fast to get my saw to cut this pinch saw free, so, because I didn't want the tree falling on anybody, that was the reason. So that's why this thing went wrong on me, because I was in a hurry. I think that was why. But I learned something. The thing is, I learned something. That's the thing. That's the important thing. So that's the story. But I ended up with a wheelbarrow full of 5-inch or 4-inch logs, whatever diameter logs that are 4 or 5 inches. They're poplar, and they won't be ready for this winter, I don't think. But at least they've been cut now, and I might cut up a few more trees if the weather's good and everything, and if I'm not doing anything else. But I had a good workout today, and I got really sweaty. So I've changed all my clothes now, but I was really sweaty, and it was just too warm today. That was another issue that I ended up. Oh, my new work pants have got oil on them, so they're now officially work pants. There's no way they'll ever be coming back from that, with the oil spatters that got on them. And I just manually oiled the chain again from the for the small saw that I used. I used the small saw for everything except just unpinching the saw. That was all I used the big saw, the 362 for. The small saw, the 192, I used that 192 saw for everything else. So it was working okay. I was able to make all the cuts. It's still doesn't really need sharpening, maybe, but it's probably pretty close to needing sharpening, and maybe that raker needs to be looked at. There's a lot of work to do off and on with these saws, but the main thing was it's also the carburation worked well today. I just started it, and there was no clogging in the carburetor. It was no issue with the carburetor today. There was no problem with it running. So, and no bogging, nothing like that. So that's just because I was using the seafoam the other day that cleaned it out, I think. I mean, that always works, the seafoam. Seafoam is amazing stuff. Like, it's saved me many times with the fuel that gets in the, you know, gets clogged up in or turns to varnish or whatever, you know. The fuel that solidifies in the carburetor or in the fuel lines, it becomes, at some point in that circuit, it gets clogged up and you can't run the saw unless you can get something in there like seafoam, which is just like naphtha. White naphtha, I think it's called. It's like Coleman fuel, I think. Maybe it's the same thing as Coleman fuel, actually. Is it? Can't be, can it? If it's Coleman fuel, I could just use that. I don't have to buy. I just realized, what am I doing ordering that when I've got Coleman fuel? If it is Coleman fuel, I just realized, I think it is Coleman fuel, isn't it? So why am I ordering and paying for an expensive little bottle of seafoam when I've got this giant bottle of Coleman fuel? If that's what, I'm going to research that. I have to research that now to find out. The other thing I wanted to talk about was I made, the other table, the welding table that was not available anymore online today. Or yesterday, it wasn't. At some point today or yesterday, it wasn't online. It wasn't. I mean, it became out of stock. That's what I mean, out of stock. And so then it came on. Now there's three available. Three of them online, or in stock online. So it's available again. So it wasn't available for a while, and then it came back. So I guess they're just doing that to try and get people to buy them. Is put small amounts online at only put a few on. In stock at a time so that people will buy. I guess that's their strategy. I don't know. But my idea in buying a welding table is to get the best height for my bench, because my bench has a structure under the worktop. It's got like a quarter inch gap under the between the frame of my bench. In order to level it, I lifted the bench up with angle irons and leveled the bench. I guess that's why I did it this way. And I used these angle irons so there's a quarter inch gap, roughly quarter inch, but not even all the way around. And the angle irons hold the bench top up, but there's a quarter inch gap underneath the bench top, and the frame of the workshop is underneath there, underneath the quarter inch gap. So at 36 inches from the floor, which is 3 inches lower than the bench top, I can have a piece of steel like quarter inch or 3/16 inch in underneath and hidden, just sitting there underneath my workbench, and then I can slide that out if I want to do welding. So that's one thought I had. I just have to order the right sizes. And I found a place I can order steel, hot rolled steel that's cut to size. I think it's hot rolled, but it's cut to size exactly the size you want. And if you order two of them, it's much cheaper than ordering just one on a per item basis. It's cheaper to get two. You save money that way. So, I mean, I could have two of them and then have because of the place where the angle irons are, angle brackets are, I mean, I'd have to have a gap between them, unless I move the angle iron somewhere. But there would be like a 7-inch gap and then two of these plates coming out, sliding out. So the 7-inch gap, I could do my plasma cutting across that 7-inch gap or something. I just thought about that. Or some other, or welding even. I could do anything I want in the gap instead of doing it on top of the plates. But the problem with this design is I haven't yet designed how to support these. I could have them just, if they just stick out, if they're, and I need to have, for one of them already has a place to ride on sort of rails, but the other one, the one that's in the center of the bench, I'd have to install rails for it to ride on, so I could slide them out without them falling, without it falling into the bench. But I've got a design idea that I could build like that, and then if I slid them out, let's say only 1 foot, then the rest of the length of it would support it. So I could have a 1 foot bench that wouldn't need support, you know, or maybe even 18 inches with a 6-inch length propped in the bench. So it would be like cantilevered from the bench, 18 inches with 6 inches held in the bench. I mean, it's possible. I could have a welding table just like that without any support on the floor, but there's going to be another bench that's exactly 36 inches that's on wheels, that's going on sale tonight or tomorrow after midnight, I guess, tonight. But it's going to be from the same place, but it's about 18 inches. Is it 18 inches wide? I'm trying to think. Might be only 18 inches wide instead of being 24. But that's okay. That's all right. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If it's 24 or 18, I don't care. I mean, I do care. I care very much. It's just that I don't care, because I can adapt. I don't care what it is, I'm going to have to figure it out. That's what I mean. Whatever it is, I'll have to figure out what the implication is of that. Later on, you know. I'm not going to try and design it right here, right now, I don't think. I'll just wait till after this, but I want to finish this. What I wanted to do, okay, but yeah, I've been working on the design. I worked on it last night a lot. So that's I'm pretty excited because that's what I used to do all the time. I went into the basement last night like several times, over and over and over to remeasure everything, to figure out where I'm going to put this or how. I'm not at the point where I can decide what to do. I'm at the point where this is how I design things. I rethink it a million times. Like I mean, obviously not a million maybe, but some large number of times I will rethink it. Every time I get an idea, I then rethink it. I improve that idea. In the time it takes me to explain my idea, I will have come up with a new one. So there's no point in my explaining my idea. It's that kind of thing. And so I keep refining it until finally I can understand, well, I have 6 or 7 ways I can achieve success with this idea, so I can go ahead with it, and I'm not going to, I mean, I'm fairly sure I'm going to do something. You know, I'm not going to just quit on it because I have a lot of ways that I can proceed. So I'll probably I'm definitely going to use it. You know, this idea will work. But I like the idea of a roll around that I can move in place and then slide these plates out. I can even buy the roll around and not buy the plates and just have the roll around start out with that. The problem with that idea is if I don't have these plates, there's several ideas. Buying these plates, like two feet by 20 inches wide, roughly is what they are, 24 by 20 inches. If I buy two of these plates, 3/16 thick, they're plates I can use for welding table. I can even use one of them on top of this other one that rolls around and use it to prevent contact with the galvanized if there's galvanized on it. But I can also, another thing is, it's raw materials. I can use the steel to do welding. I can take one of these plates, and if I need a plate that's that size, I can order a new one. But in the meantime, I can use the one that I have to construct some, to fabricate, right? Doing welding. So it's raw materials. I can order the raw materials, use it as a welding table. I mean, this is a, I mean, I like to have like a multi kind of, a multifaceted angle, you know, plan that works from a manifold plan, a plan that is multidimensional, right? That works in many ways. That's the best plan because it's by far the best plan. It's the only plan that I can ever proceed with, is if I can understand how it works in many different ways so that I'm not afraid that it's going to be just an expenditure that I never, you know, ever take advantage of having spent the money. It's just spent, you know, and then I don't. Like when I'm buying these leather boots, they're shipped, by the way. They just shipped. So these $350 boots with tax, $350. When they ship, I mean, I could use them for welding, but I can also use them for hiking. I can use them for, you know, in the winter, maybe for shoveling snow, but they're not waterproof, but that's okay. Probably be all right. But I can use them for all, you know, all kinds of things besides. I can use them for welding, for, you know, as work boots, you know, as walking boots. Like, it's multi-purpose. That's the thing. And, you know, because they're not steel toes, they're more comfortable, too. Like, they're definitely more comfortable without steel toes. Steel toes were and are. I've had steel toes. I have a couple of pairs that the rubber completely disintegrated on them. But I mean, I've owned steel toes before. They're just not very comfortable because they have the toe is so rigid and it's, yeah, they're not like, you know, they're a very special kind of item, specialty kind of item. A work boot, you know, a steel toe boot is a very special kind of item. It's not your typical. You wouldn't wear it to go for a walk. You wouldn't say, I'm going to go for a walk in my steel toes, you know. It's not something you would typically do for a reason. It's just, they're just not as comfortable. So anyway, no, I really don't like steel toes. It's just what it comes down to. I don't think I'll ever buy them now that I think of it. I don't think I'll buy any more of them. I might refurbish the soles on the ones I have, but I, you know, I've got two pairs of them. They're probably, and they're leather, like solid full hide. I think they're full grain leather on both of them, actually. One of them certainly is. So I mean, they look like they are, so I guess they are. But I mean, I don't need to buy more of that sort of boot when I need a general purpose boot anyway. So I think I'm going the right way with that. But I mean, every decision is, you know, depends on what your purpose is for making that decision. It's specific to the purpose that you have for that thing you're purchasing. It has nothing to do with personal preferences at all. Like, there's nothing personal in the preferences of design. It's design is the least personal thing there is, and purchases are really design. You're designing, you're buying something with a design in mind. You're using it in a certain way. That's a design. So there's no personal intent behind the design. It's intended for to meet the needs of a certain purpose. That's all. It's not a personal preference where I say, I like this. It's more like it was the only boot I could buy in my size that was of the quality I was looking for with the features I wanted, you know, that kind of thing. That's all it is. There's no other. I mean, it would be nice if there were kind of, well, you know, sometimes you get a choice. I got to choose this. But there's never, ever an opportunity to choose something based on what you like, because there's always some real, practical. There's always a practical consideration that overrides what you like and don't like. So if you think hard enough, you'll always come up with a practical reason why such and such works better than such and such for you in that particular purpose at that particular time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's always an analytical thing. It's always, I wouldn't call it scientific. It's not science. It's something else. It's design, which is not science. It's engineering. That's what it is. It's engineering. You're trying to manage your money too. You're trying not to spend too much money on it either. It's all these different things, right? If I liked steel toes, then I would have been a lot more tempted by Viberg for sure. There's no doubt, because they're supposed to be so good, you know. But I haven't heard enough about Viberg to be confident yet. I'll continue to research. I haven't researched Viberg. I don't pick a brand and then research it, right? I just research search for the phrase best boots or whatever, or that kind of thing. I just research all boots. I don't search for a particular brand and then say, I'm going to try to find out what I can learn about that brand. I don't favor one brand over another. But at some point, you do research each brand at some point, probably. At least if they stand out enough. That's got to do with Jehovah. It has to do with Jehovah. Something has to happen where you have to be presented with something in such a way that it strikes you as, that is something I want to investigate. And then you investigate it, right? So it has to be that sort of thing. And that's not something that can be defined. It's more like, and that's not personal preference either. It's not, it has to feel like it's, you know, of an origin that's more significant than yourself. That's the thing. For it to be something you're going to go with, you know, it's got to be more significant than your personal preference. What else was I going to talk about? There was something, but I know I want to read the psalm here. I want to read this psalm. Let's undo, let's resize this here. Transition, there we go. This is, I wanted to read John. It's not psalm, it's John 3. We did psalms, but I just realized if I don't do John 3 today, the numbers are going to be wrong in terms of coinciding with the number 3 on the 23rd. So, and I thought, well, it's okay, I can do this. I read through this, and I've read this now. I haven't prepared the other ones that way, but this one I've read in advance. So this one I prepared. In other words, I should know how to read it now, but, you know, I just kind of skimmed through it, so maybe I'll not read it perfectly, but I know what's in it. I know what's the content. But the exciting thing is, design is, I'm finally getting back to it again. I mean, I haven't done design for a long, long time. I haven't had any time to do it. I haven't had any inclination. It's so unpersonal that you wouldn't believe it. It's just, it's so technical that where you have to get deep into it. And I mean, if you're doing design, I have to get deep into it. If I'm doing design, I have to go deep down some kind of rabbit hole where I say, well, what if I measure this? I have to go measure stuff. And then I say, well, what if I buy something that's this size? How will that work? And so on. What could I do with it? And I don't have much room in my shop. I can't just add more tables everywhere. Like, that's just not going to work. In fact, I've already got the floor covered with timber and stuff. I don't know what to do, right, with space. So if I can build something, if I can buy a folding table, that's better. But this roll around is okay, because at least it rolls around. Or these sliding plates, because they can be concealed, and then it doesn't take up space in the shop. So I'm very close. I felt like I was close to buying something, but it's of the order. I can get for $160, I think it is, or something like that. Or $193, I can buy two of these plates, which is way better than $120-something for one plate, to get two for $190-something. It's better, right? The two for one is a better deal than just buying one in terms of how much for each. And then I'd have raw materials for welding. If I want to use one of these plates for welding, if I, in a pinch, I can use it. But that's the idea, to have stock, because I'm not a big shop that can carry stock. But I can use one of my pieces in a pinch if I need it for something. I absolutely need a big sheet, 24 by 20, of 316 steel. If I order them and I have them in stock, I got two of them, I could maybe build something with it if I, you know, if I was in a pinch, and I could reorder more of it if I wanted to replace it. So that's one way of thinking about it. And the other idea is buying this roll around, which I could either buy it at the same time. That way I'd have a bigger surface on which, and it could support, it's exactly the right height to slide these plates out. That's the thing, is if it's exactly the right height, what are the odds? If it's just probability, if it's random, what are the odds that exactly the right height table comes up online? And the other thing is, I could, yeah, it's a little bit, if I was to resurface the galvanized, it would probably be too high then. That's probably true. So that's the problem. If I want to use the galvanized as a welding table too, well, I could resize it with some of the 20 gauge or 24 gauge, whatever I have there, that's 2 feet by 4 feet long. I've got some sheets that I bought before already of the steel that's weldable steel. It's not galvanized. I can use that on top, but I don't know how to fasten it because I can't weld on galvanized. I could weld it if I remove the galvanized surface layer first before I weld. I don't know what I would do. Some kind of glue maybe, right? So that's my other... That's just getting more complicated. It should be simple. John chapter 3. Father, give us humility. That's the other thing. Father, give us humility in Jesus' name. You know why I thought of humility today? You know what humility is? Humility is not, oh, I'm happy, I'm humble. That's not what humility is. Humility is, you feel like dirt, or you feel like rotten. You feel really rotten. You feel really bad. That's what humility is. You've been humbled. You've been brought low. Humility doesn't feel good, is what I'm trying to say. Humility feels bad. When you're humble, you feel bad because you're brought low, you're humiliated. That's where the word humble comes from, is being humiliated, right? It's something that has got to do with being low, lowly, not thinking of yourself as this great person, but being lowly. So it's not a nice feeling to be humble. So if we ask for humility, if anyone is asking for humility, if you're asking for humility, you got to know that it's not going to be pleasant. Okay, now there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus was his name, a ruler of the Jews. This one came to him in the night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you as a teacher have come from God, for no one can perform these signs that you perform unless God is with him. In answer, Jesus said to him, Most truly I say to you, unless anyone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter into the womb of his mother a second time and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Most truly I say to you, unless anyone is born from water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What has been born from the flesh is flesh, and what has been born from the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, because I told you, you people must be born again. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone that has been born from the Spirit. In answer, Nicodemus said to him, How can these things come about? In answer, Jesus said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and yet do not know these things? Most truly I say to you, what we know we speak, and what we have seen we bear witness of. But you people do not receive the witness we give. If I have told you earthly things and yet you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Moreover, no man has ascended into heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone believing in him may have everlasting life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, in order that everyone exercising faith in him might not be destroyed, but have everlasting life. For God sent forth his Son into the world, not for him to judge the world, but for the world to be saved through him. He that exercises faith in him is not to be judged. He that does not exercise faith has been judged already, because he has not exercised faith in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now this is the basis for judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men have loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were wicked. For he that practices vile things hates the light and does not come to the light, in order that his works may not be reproved. But he that does what is true comes to the light, in order that his works may be made manifest as having been worked in harmony with God. End quote. After these things, Jesus and his disciples went into Judean country, and there he spent some time with them and did baptizing. But John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was a great quantity of water there, and people kept coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, a dispute arose on the part of the disciples of John with a Jew concerning purification. So they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, the man that was with you across the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, see, this one is baptizing and all are going to him. In answer, John said, a man cannot receive a single thing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent forth in advance of that one. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. However, the friend of the bridegroom, when he stands and hears him, has a great deal of joy on account of the voice of the bridegroom. Therefore, this joy of mine has been made full. That one must go on increasing, but I must go on decreasing. End quote. He that comes from above is over all others. He that is from the earth and speaks of things of the earth. He that comes from heaven is over all others. What he has seen and heard of this he bears witness, but no man is accepting his witness. He that has accepted his witness has put his seal to it that God is true. For the one whom God sent forth speaks the sayings of God, for he does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that exercises faith in the Son has everlasting life. He that disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Wow! John chapter 3. That is powerful. The wrath of God remains upon him. Have you ever seen somebody upon whom the wrath of God was remaining? I believe I have. I saw, if I go back in time, I remember seeing somebody. I was on a bus in Mississauga going home. This is when I worked at the nuclear, not a nuclear plant, but a nuclear design facility in Mississauga. Or it was, I lived in Mississauga. I don't know where, I can't remember where I was going on the bus. Some, wherever they were, right? We weren't downtown, maybe, but we must have been. It must have been more downtown where I was working. But I lived in Mississauga because it was cheaper to live in Mississauga, out further away than downtown. But I worked somewhere in Toronto, obviously, and that's why I lived in Mississauga. I don't even know. I don't even remember where I worked. I just remember where I lived. But on the way home, but I mean, this is the place I worked in. It was the like almost sort of like head office or something, because that's where they did the design work and stuff. Anyway, so I was coming home on the bus, and there was this guy with a cowboy hat smoking cigarette on the bus, and the bus driver said, put that cigarette out. So the guy put the cigarette out, but he was really grumpy about it, right? So then the guy immediately pulled on the thing. Next stop, almost, he pulled the thing. he pulled the little wire that, you know, that rings the bell. And so the bus driver stopped. This guy got off. And then the bus was stopped at the light, and this guy ran ahead. We could all see him running across. But he didn't run where the light was. He went, he may have crossed initially where the light was, but he went against the light. But he tried to run across the street. This is Toronto, like Mississauga, where, you know, there's cars going at a good speed on this road. He tried to run across the road through traffic. And we saw him get hit by a car. The car was going full speed, like, hit the guy. He rolled over the hood, and then he landed on his back, basically on the, or somehow he landed badly on the pavement after he went over the car, like it was bad news. And so I remember sort of, I hung around there. I got off the next stop. That was my stop. So I was able to walk right past where this guy had ran and where he'd fallen. And he was still lying there, I guess, but there was an ambulance. I think I either stuck around until the ambulance came, or the ambulance came very quickly, or whatever. But I remember seeing. I may not have seen the ambulance. I don't know. I can't remember. I think I saw an ambulance. I think I saw them putting this guy in the ambulance. Because I was interested in this guy, because I'd been on the bus with him, and he ran across the street, and he was hurt. Like, he was evidently hurt. Like, but he did not have humility, right? Not when he got off the bus. After he got hit by the car, maybe he had humility then. I don't know. I guess he probably had more humility then than he did when he was on the bus. But this is somebody, maybe he was a guy upon whom the wrath of God remained long enough for him, you know, it remained on him until he got hit by the car anyway. He saw some wrath there, but it wasn't like the driver of the car was trying to hit him. He just got hit because he didn't listen, you know, because he didn't obey what was sensible, which was crossing the street, you know, in a way that was sensible. He did not listen to anything sensible in his own way of doing it. He thought, I don't have to obey rules. Apparently, that's what he thought. That's what he was thinking on the bus, apparently. And then when he got off the bus, he thought, and he was whooping it up. I remember he took his hat off and he was whooping it up when he ran across it. While he was running across the street, he was whooping it up, like really whooping it up. That was the other thing, right? And of course, he made it across one part of the street, right? And then he just failed on the second half of the street. That's where he got hit, because it was one of those divided highways, I believe. It was, a pretty major street. It was, you know, major street enough to be divided. And there were cars moving at maybe 80 kilometers or something, you know, 50 miles an hour maybe, or maybe 40 or whatever. But they were moving. Or maybe it was only, even if it was only 30, that would do you. I mean, that would hurt. But I think it was faster. It was more like, it wasn't 60 miles an hour, but, you know, it was something up there. It was high speed traffic that he got hit by. Just one car is enough. That's all he got hit by. But that stayed with me, you know, up until now. I'll never forget that, I guess. But there, it is possible for the wrath of God to be on somebody, right? If they don't exercise faith in the Son of God, or is he called the Son of Man here somewhere too? By John? Well, in Christ, though, we're talking about Jesus. If we don't exercise, anyone who doesn't exercise faith in Jesus, the wrath of God remains upon him. That's what it says, right here. The only begotten Son of God. There it is. Right. Right. Jesus gave quite a speech to Nicodemus explaining what this meant about being born again and why Jesus had been sent by God, because God loved the world, and not because he was going to judge the world. It's not like God's judgment. See, it's explained by Jesus. It's not the judgment of God that causes people to get hurt. by the wrath of God, right? The judgment is in their control. If they exercise faith, they don't get judged. The judgment is something that just happens to them. It's not like God is personally saying, I'm going to punish you for that, because it's not, he doesn't have to do that. It's not necessary. They're judged already, it says, right? They don't exercise faith, they've already been judged. It's like in their own minds, they've got something that's causing them to be undergoing the wrath of God. It's not like, you know, it's not like God has to take time out of his busy schedule to punish each person individually, because it doesn't sound like that from here. I mean, it doesn't sound like that at all. The wrath of God remains upon them, right? But it's something it's interesting. The wrath, you see, God is within each one of us. He's present inside us as well. As evidently, he's not just inside us, because we didn't create the universe, God did. But he's inside us. So if the wrath of God remains upon us, it could be the wrath of God, the part of God that's inside us is what's causing us to be experiencing the wrath, you see? That's the other thing. So that it's just like the example of the man running across the street through traffic, and somehow he thought he was going to be okay. But it was busy traffic. Like, he got hit by a car. You know? Anyway, it's food for thought. Sunday, okay, October 23rd, 2022. Still, yeah, I'm almost going to say 2023 because it's coming up, but it's 2022. October 23rd, 2111 hours now. This is Ward Green. It's very important to be experiencing, you know, good feelings and good thoughts all the time. And also, if a quarrel seems like it's beginning, before a quarrel bursts forth, take your leave. That's another principle, right? So maybe that gentleman did. He did leave before the quarrel burst forth. He did that right. You know, that he did that correctly. But something else he didn't do correctly, maybe, it seems, because he got hit by a car, but it's interesting. But before the quarrel bursts forth, take your leave. So, I mean, and if I hear somebody talking about gossip, you know, talking about somebody behind their back, or, you know, talking about somebody to other people when they don't know the other person's thoughts or feelings. Like, you don't know another person. Nobody knows the feelings or the heart of another person. The heart is not known. Another person's heart is not known by anyone else, like, except for Jehovah. Jehovah knows the heart, but no one else knows the heart of a person. So if I hear somebody talking about somebody else to other people, especially in it's even worse in public, but behind their back, or even in public's far worse, but I won't listen to that. I'll just go away, right? I just go away from that. If I feel that that's what's happening at any moment, I'll just leave that, and I won't listen to that, because that's not going to generate good feelings. So, and it's not the right thing to judge somebody especially because you don't know their feelings, right? You just can't do it. So they don't know what they're talking about when they're doing that. They don't understand what they're saying. They're just, it's like this, the wrath of God remains on them. They haven't exercised faith is what it is. That's what it is. So October 23rd, 2022, 21:13 hours now. Ward Green, have a great night, and I love you. Bye for now.